In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And today, we're going to be talking about something very interesting, something that's important, I think, to both Mike and I. Uh-huh. We're hoping, at least I'm hoping, that this is going to be kind of a guide maybe for some young men listening to this, and even maybe some young women listening to this. I mean, I may be deluding myself thinking we have a lot of young people listening to this, but still, if this ever is listened to by them. Mike.
Yes.
You just celebrated a very special event last month, right?
Yes.
Well, actually 2 months ago, technically, with the air date for this, in the end of June, correct?
The end of June, yeah.
And what was that?
That was my anniversary, 4 years with my wife.
Fantastic. Again, mm-hmm. Congratulations. I gave you personal congratulations
Thank
at the
you.
Time. And this will be coming out, I believe, three days after I will be celebrating 18 years of being married.
Woo!
That's a little frightening.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, my marriage is now an adult. It can go buy cigarettes. I think, well, did they change the age of cigarettes yet?
I think they did.
Okay, so it can vote.
They changed it to 21.
My marriage can
18
vote.
18 if you're in the military, 21 if you're not.
Well, it's nice for our military boys and girls. They should at least be able to smoke if they're going to go over
right.
and have to kill people.
Right.
Or get killed themselves. Let them smoke, damn it. Hell, let them drink, too.
I'm okay with that.
Also, government-sponsored whorehouses located right outside the bases. I'm just saying. Make sure we're servicing not only our service men, but our service women at these houses.
Oh, correct.
I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
They deserve some things.
You need equality.
I mean, well, they're in the military. They need to be able to have a little bit of fun without getting too tied down at home until they're ready to come back.
Completely understandable.
Anyway, moving on. funny, I'm talking about whorehouses, and I'm going to be talking about marriage. Funny little thing.
Lovely but segue, James.
It is. It's fantastic.
Some marriages include those. Not mine, but some marriages do.
Not mine either.
Okay.
At this point. We'll see. Anyway, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for that. But what I want to talk about is, I'm not going to say in my 18 years of marriage that there weren't some times that we had some bumps and some hills to overcome.
Right.
We had at least one moment where things got really, really rocky and we weren't sure that the relationship was going to stay together. In fact, if things hadn't happened the way that they did, it probably wouldn't have stayed together.
Oh.
It was on that road. Don't act too surprised. You were around during that time period.
I was.
And it was a rocky part for everybody. But What I want to try to do is impart maybe a little bit of wisdom from the two of us, because mm-hmm. I'd like to say that I think I do a pretty good job of being a husband. I do a pretty good job of taking care of the things that are necessary to keep my wife a happy wife. And I'd like to, I've been around your house enough in the past 6 months or so to say that I'd like to say you do about the same thing. You make sure your wife is kept in a pretty good state and you make sure your relationship is in a good state.
Well, thank you. I hope I do. It seems like I'm doing the right thing so far. So,
and that's what I want to talk about today, at least for the first part of the day,
okay.
First part of our conversation. I want to talk about the idea of what we need to do as men to be good husbands and what we can impart to other men to be good husbands to their wives.
Okay. Something tells me you've got like a direction you're going with this. I'm gonna let you take the wheel on this one.
There's more than one of me?
Or there's just, sometimes I see double. I might need my glasses.
Well, your wife says you do, actually. Your wife says you do.
See, that's one of the things I'm not very perfect at.
Well, actually, that's a good point. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Here's one of the key points. The ability to not be perfect at this. And
okay.
to admit that you're not perfect.
Okay.
Now, you lead up to the excitement of getting married. You found the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You found the girl. Hopefully, she's found the right guy.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand that even at the beginning of the relationship there, before you're married, before you're even thinking about asking her to marry you, you need to understand that if you want the relationship to be working properly, you have to understand it's never going to be entirely perfect. There's going to be problems throughout. And the capability to admit that something's not perfect and that there is problems that need to be worked on and to work on them, this can be a key thing.
Of course.
This can be one of the most important things. Many men go into the relationship thinking. Many women also go into the relationships, although I don't want to speak too much for the women in this because I am a man, so I don't have a full perspective of their viewpoint. Many people go into the relationship and the idea of getting married that marriage is going to be what makes our relationship perfect. We're going to have the perfect marriage. We're going to have all these things that are expected of marriage, the house, the kids, the cars, the boats, whatever.
Oh, man, I would not wish for people to do that. That sounds like a bad idea.
But there are people that do because we've been fed this kind of false narrative of what marriage is going to be, that marriage is going to help define the relationship and make it something that it wasn't before.
Mm-hmm.
And before you can get into that, you need to lay that foundation. And what we can do as men to lay that foundation is to understand that the perfection, this idea of perfection, isn't necessarily something that is A, attainable, and B, something you want to attain. Because mm-hmm. if you're trying to be perfect all the time, you can't ever admit the mistakes you make. You can't ever admit the things that necessarily aren't right. And to make things work out in the relationship, you have to be able to admit when you're wrong or when something else is wrong.
Yeah, totally.
And be able to sit and talk about it. So see, that's one of the traits I think that is a really good trait for you.
Oh.
Is that capability to admit that you're not perfect.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
That you
make mistakes.
Like, yeah. And I do many times over.
And the ability to have that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
part of that comes with how you view and how you treat women.
Okay, right.
Now, going back to, you got these people that are not married yet thinking about getting married.
Okay.
As the man, you need to start thinking about how you treat the woman, how you're going to treat her when she's your wife. By becoming your wife, does that mean that she's more responsible for things to do with you? Does that mean that you have more control over her? You have more...
Are these like things that are assumed by people?
Yes.
That doesn't compute with me.
I'm glad it doesn't compute with you. See,
that it doesn't compute with most of the people that are listening.
I'm hoping so too, but in truth...
At least.
In truth, we're still fighting. We're in a new age with marriage, man. We're in a new age, and it's a good age for us to be in.
Okay.
Where marriage is beginning more and more to be viewed as the combining of equals.
Right.
As opposed to a man taking care of a woman. Or just getting together because we're supposed to or because we have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that the origin of marriage in the way that we do it here in this country originated in a belief system. Now I'm going to get it. I know. Mike likes me to be careful about how I touch on religion, but I'm just saying it. Or the origin of how we do our modern marriage and how marriage is oftentimes used through thousands of years,
right?
Within Western culture, just within Western culture in general, it is the means of men acquiring a baby maker, basically, and the wife being subservient to the man.
Talking about the general origins of it, or?
Well, if we go back to general origins, we can say that the Western version of marriage has to do with the men being able to make sure of their descendancy, that the children that the woman that they're with is having are their descendants and not somebody else's descendants, because by being married to the woman, he claims full sexual right over her. We can go that far into it.
I mean, we could go that deep into it, but I was essentially thinking the possibility that marriage in itself was seen as a business transaction near the beginning.
I've actually told people
going down when it came down to like documented marriages and when you're talking about families joining with other families so that their riches will combine and then all that kind of stuff.
There was a time up to 200 years ago.
That was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a time up to 200 years ago where most marriages were not done for love. They were done for exactly as you say.
Yeah, for business.
For business and for making sure you are with the person who is going to be able to financially give you security. The only people that married for love were poor people for a very long time. Anybody that mm-hmm. was middle class middle class didn't technically exist at that point, but still anybody middle class or higher was marrying for status and for connection, not necessarily for love.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's some marriages that still work like that.
Well, and as a result, I think for thousands of years, it skewed the idea of marriage in Western culture,
mm-hmm.
that the man is the person in charge of the marriage and the woman is subservient to him. Okay. And this is, okay. Maybe I'm going about this the wrong way explaining it. This may be a little bit of a rambling podcast, and I'm sorry.
No worries.
That's where I think we're in this new age of men, before they get married, they need to think, am I marrying this woman because I want her to be subservient to me, because I want her to be my property, or because I think I found my equal in life that I can be equal with? And I believe that to be a good husband, you need to have found your equal in life, not somebody that you want to be subservient to you, because that's not being a good husband.
Yeah, well, of course. I think that when it comes down to, you know, being a good husband or not, or what have you, I think most of that that issue with subservience and all that kind of stuff, I think that more than likely has to do with people not willing to change their habits and what they've grown and seen as an example of what a proper household is. Yeah. Most people go from their own parents, right?
Yes, yes.
And so what they learn from living in a household where the woman is essentially subservient to the man. Yeah. We're going like classic, even down to classic nuclear family, yeah. Man. You know what I mean? Like you have dad that works, brings home the money, mom stays home, cleans the house, makes dinner, takes care of the kids, takes care of dad.
There's a movie that came out.
That's what it is. But what dad says goes.
Yeah.
The whole phrase, who wears the pants in the family.
Yes.
That in itself is already a misogynistic phrase, a very misogynistic phrase.
And that's part of what we're dealing with is the continuing of this misogynistic lifestyle of men being the head of everything,
right,
and women being subservient, and it goes all the way down to the marriage situation.
I think it's very deeply rooted into that because of what everybody experiences at home.
And well, not only at home, but in our culture. That's kind of like
what I'm getting at is that you stand, especially with the
TV, movies.
Yeah, especially with that culture that you're seeing, that assumed patriarchal misogynistic culture.
Yeah.
That you'll see in most media. It's not discussed, but it is shown. It's assumed. It's part of society. It's what you think when you watch television. It's not necessarily, you don't think about it, but it becomes such a repetitive pattern. It exists. It's part of society.
I mean, I can speak
permeating.
I can speak from, for instance, a family where for the first 10 years of my childhood, my father worked. My mother did too, but her job was a lot less hours. She was, for the most part, the person staying at home with the kids.
Right.
At the age of 10, my father became ill and couldn't work anymore, and my mother had to work. My father ended up being the one staying at home with the kids. And there was so much pressure from outside family, from just people around, that the idea of my father not being a real man because he wasn't out working and making the money for the kids, you know, for the household.
Yeah.
He wasn't out doing what he needed to be doing, and how there was something wrong with my household because my dad was the one staying home, and it was improper. My mother had to go to work and do all those things. And then, of course, my mother was definitely, even before she went to work, my mother was a person that was a very vocal person. She was not somebody who was going to be the timid housewife and sit in the corner and keep her mouth shut. She was going to speak her mind when she felt like it, because she truly felt like she was on an equal to whoever she was in the room with, regardless of who they were.
Good.
And I feel blessed to have had that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
There were many times I even saw as a child my father being told by other people that he needed to control and contain his wife, as if that was his responsibility because he's the man. This kind of, instead of doing what I think would be the appropriate thing, which is what he did, by the way, have her back, support her in what she was doing. These other people wanted him to take her in hand and control her, because that was part of this idea that we've been fed, this cultural feeling of it. And this is kind of the message I'm trying to fight against, is the idea of if your thought frame is, as the man, that you're going to marry this woman so that you can be in control of it, you're now in control of the situation. That's not the way to have this anymore. Our culture is changing. We're hopefully one of the last, as the Xennial generation, we're one of the last generations to have this huge amount of misogyny involved within within marriage. I also
true,
think,
like
I also think just a little side
like
blip.
Our kids and the kids, the younger kids of the Gen Xers started to see many more examples of an equal hierarchy household.
Hopefully, yes.
I guess I would call it.
I mean, there was an interesting shift in media.
There was.
We discussed this at one point how you look back at I Love Lucy. That's the example I usually like to give.
Yes.
And how Lucy was kind of the one that messed up and always did stupid things, and Ricky would come in and fix them. Funny enough, in real life, Lucy was like the pioneer of, hell, if it wasn't for Lucy, Star Trek never would have been made. How about that one for you? Lucy was actually responsible for Star Trek being made.
Really?
Yes. Lucy was responsible for picking it up.
Wow.
And making sure it got made properly. She was in charge of the studio at that time.
That's fantastic.
Or at least one of the heads of the studio at that time.
Cool.
Yeah. In fact, she was the bigger draw between her and Desi. Mm-hmm. She was the big comedian draw. They wanted to just make the show call it Lucy.
Yeah.
She wanted Desi's name in it. They refused to put Desi's name in it because as much as they maybe wouldn't want to have a woman have her own show, they felt even worse about having a Cuban be named on the show because racism was even more important than sexism even back then.
Yeah.
Sadly. So that's why they came up with the name I Love Lucy, because technically the I is Desi.
Really?
Yeah. That's why they came up with that name for the show. Funny enough. But anyway.
Huh.
But he's the smart one in the show. He's the one that comes and fixes things when his wife does things wrong and gets him in hand. You fast forward to the next example I really like to use is Everybody Loves Raymond, because people are so familiar with that.
Well, that's a good flip.
Yeah.
Ray
is the idiot.
Yeah.
And I don't know what his wife's name is in that. I actually never watched the show.
I don't remember. But then you started seeing that too with other shows that were like that too. King of Queens was like that. Home Improvement was like that. You started to see, and I think Home Improvement came first, if I'm not mistaken.
It may have.
But still, you're correct in that you would see the dynamic of the household would shift completely to the other side.
Yeah, it shifted to the women.
Well, you also had other things happening too. You also showed that marriage in itself may not have been very important, and waiting for marriage, like the show Friends, which was a huge cultural shift. Seinfeld was another one. You had single people that hung out, and friends of opposite sex that were not romantically involved.
Isn't that interesting? I've never liked the TV show Friends, and yet thinking about it, there were so many cultural things we discussed in one of our first podcasts. The fact they all hung out at a coffee shop instead of it doing any alcohol because of the feelings of alcohol during that time period.
Yeah.
You're right. You have these singles who are they date back and forth, but nobody's getting married. Nobody's until near the end when they finally do all, and it becomes a big deal.
But at that point, these people are in their 30s.
Well, and I also think that this is a little sidebar when it comes to the marriage thing. I think that part of the fight back against what's considered non-traditional marriage, or what's also referred to as gay marriage, I think it just should all be called marriage. But I think part of the fight back with this is by having
I consider non-traditional marriage waiting until your 30s.
Well, there's that too. Although, actually, that's more common now.
Yeah.
Millennials aren't quite up to the are coming near that age group.
Well, millennials don't give a damn about tradition. I think that's fantastic.
They're not worried about getting married when they should. And I mean, I'll go over the reasons why I actually got married. But the thing is, I think the fight against non-traditional marriage is also a fight against this misogynistic idea that the man needs to be in charge. And the closed off mind of somebody that can't accept the idea, and I'll take this on me as my opinion.
Okay.
The closed off mind of somebody that can't accept the idea that some people other than just a man and a woman should be able to get married. They look at it and they think to themselves, well, there's two men getting married. Who's the man in that relationship? Who's the one in charge? There's two women getting married. Who's the one in charge of that? I think that actually goes on in their head because
I think that you're right.
I think it makes them feel devalued because to many of them, part of the reason that part of their self-worth they look at is the fact that they've been married and they're the I'm the man, I'm the married man, I'm the head of this household, I'm in charge of this. My wife is second to me. My kids are second to me. I'm the one in charge of all this. I'm the one who keeps all this together.
Right.
It's part of their identity. And to have any part of that stripped away, they can't see anything more than that makes that less, that makes them lesser in some way.
Yeah, no, and you're so, right, because it makes it, what it does is the idea of that crumbles the foundation on which they may or may not have started their lifestyle. And that is, and man, I'll join you in the accusatory tone there a little bit. Like,
thank you.
It sounds, all right. It sounds, it does really, I don't think, again, I will state, I don't think it's necessarily intentional. I think it is a learned habit.
I agree.
It is something that people should be taking a look at and going, maybe that wasn't so important. You know, I actually personally come from a, I come from a divided household. My parents were not together when I was born, and they were never married, and but they did marry, you know, separately to other people. And I got two examples of a household. One thing that you were talking about, when your dad got sick and he was basically Mr. Mom, and everybody was like, what the hell is that? Like, I got two examples. I had one example was my stepdad worked, and for the most part, my mom stayed at home. But at the same time, she was also working, because the two of them were a tight-knit, close group of – they were a pair of equals, and they were both working hard to make sure
that they both – to get things done.
Mm-hmm. Take care of two, three kids in one household, and that was a household I mainly stayed in. But at the same time, I also had the example of the reverse – the reverse traditional household, that set of parents were working musicians. And after that stopped, my dad was, I believe my dad was going to school, and it was back when I was a kid, my dad was going to school, but he would stay at home while, my stepmother was working, during the day. And well, she went to school and worked, he stayed at home and took care of the kids and, you know, took care of the house and all that kind of stuff. But then she moved on and got a higher paying job. And then he went to college and he got a higher paying job. But
and they worked it in concert together as a team, as opposed to your dad wasn't sitting at home while your stepmom was working with the higher paying job.
No.
You know, I can't believe my wife is making more money than me and taking care of everything. I'm less of a man. No,
there was none of that. But there was none of it.
The thing is, that's a real thing.
And I can understand where people were like that, especially being having this. I'm going to catch you with the word you said. Yeah,
I'm going to catch you with the word. You said were like that. They still are. And I'm going to give you an example of that.
I'm going to give you an example. I could see some households may still be like that. I mean,
people actually still respond that way.
Okay. When you're talking about one person's in charge and a pair of people?
Well, no. When the wife is making more money than the husband, there are still people who will ask the husband, how do you feel like you're really a man when your wife has that much more money than you, is making that much more money than you, is working and doing all that?
Man, I hear stuff like that, and the first thing I think is, who gives a rat's ass?
That's
like,
there are people that still do, and that's the scary part. And that's why
don't
I think,
get me wrong. Like, I'm pretty sure that man in the relationship, in most cases, is trying to work to do something. They may not be putting, you know, bread on the table at that point, but it doesn't mean they're not busting ass to make sure that happens.
Or they're the ones that are at home, taking care of the kids, doing the housework, making sure that the wife, when she comes home, or let me rephrase it, when whichever of the people in the relationship is working, when that person comes home, they don't have to worry about the stuff of the house, because the person staying at home, taking care of the kids and doing that portion of the work, is taking care of it all and making sure the person working doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
because
that's
true. Working together, each one fulfilling a role, whether that's the thing is, whether it's the male role or the female role, each one fulfilling the role, but the misogyny still exists. Your examples that you gave of your two sets of parents. I gave the example of my parents. I'll give you the example of myself.
Okay.
For those who don't know me, I've been, for the most part, the stay-at-home father for my kids for, 7-8 years now. That I haven't had a job outside the home. I say it in that specific way purposely. That I stay home and take care of the kids. Now, I will add that it is actually my job to take care of the kids. And I am employed doing it because of special circumstances. But I still am the person at home taking care of my kids. My wife has had jobs working. In fact, the last job she was working at, she was making a pretty good amount of money. Mm-hmm. She was doing decent. There were people who questioned me about whether I was content staying at home, because I don't share with everybody that I, you know, my financial situation necessarily.
Yeah.
Of course, I have now, but still. I had people questioning me whether how I felt staying at home while my wife worked, if I felt like less of a man for doing it. If I felt, I love it when I'm called a stay-at-home dad. Because do you really call people stay-at-home moms, or do you just call them moms? This is where the misogyny really exists.
Right.
If you are a father of the kids and you are at home, you are a stay-at-home dad. And for some reason, that has special meaning more. It's almost like it's a bad thing. It's a bad title. You're a stay-at-home dad.
I think at one point it may have actually had that bad air around it because it was non-traditional. That's the only reason why.
Or it even has another connotation of, oh, you're a special dad that stays home with their kids. That's great. Because I have a better relationship with my kids than a dad that works. Like, I'm better than a dad that works. It even goes the opposite way sometimes, which is funny.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found that specific title really annoyed me. So I ended up actually changing my title. Do you remember what my title was?
No.
I like to call myself the house bitch, because I find it, because that's the reaction people get, and it's more amusing that way. I can make fun of the idea that people see it as some kind of a demotion in my life that I'm staying at home and not working outside the house,
right?
And as a result, not fulfilling my duties. I'll tell you this. I get my kids up every single morning, all three of them, get them ready for school, drive them to school, clean up all the stuff in the house, doing all the laundry, making sure all the dinner's cooked.
Yeah.
Get the kids home from school, pick mm-hmm. them up, take them home, make sure they have all the food they need. I make dinner for everybody in the house every single night of the week. While my wife worked, and since my wife hasn't been working, I still, well, occasionally she'll make dinner. It's something I don't know how to make as well as she does. She's a damn good cook. But point being,
yeah.
I did the part I needed to while she was working, because we were working in concert. And that's where I come back to what I'm trying to tell these young men.
Uh-huh.
When you're wanting to get married, you want to find somebody that's going to be your equal, your partner, the left side to your right side, where you will be working together in concert with each other. So if you need to be the one that stays home and take care of the kids, I don't care who you are in the relationship. One of you needs to do that, then that one does. If the other one has the better prospect for work, that one works. Why? Because you need to realize, if you're wanting to get involved in that marriage, you're not just the single individuals completely anymore. You are attaching yourself to another person.
Yeah.
And by doing so, you need to realize you're not better than them. They're not better than you. You're on equal footing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, because I was going to kind of try to bring it back to that too. Like, one of the things that we are kind of overlooking a little bit is that idea of equality has been grossly overlooked in same-sex couples or gender-fluid couples.
Well,
that idea of equality needs to be known and understood. I think, honestly, because most people think of marriage, or they think of couples in a traditional man-woman sense,
well,
right?
You have to consider the fact
that all parties are equal in order to understand that a same-sex couple will have an equal partnership in the same respect.
Exactly. And I'm speaking from my personal experience and my own relationship.
Yeah.
And the things that I've personally learned. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%, but I also am trying to be careful not to tread too close to things that you and I personally don't necessarily have as much of the life experience of.
No, we don't.
I don't want to speak for people that we don't necessarily know the entire voice for. But at the same time, you're right. What it comes down to is, doesn't matter who the two partners are in the relationship.
Yeah.
You should be going into marriage as two equal beings working to become one group together, equally together.
Exactly.
And whatever the responsibilities that come after that, you split them in a way that is equal and makes sense. And that doesn't mean, like, you know, Tuesday you wash the dishes, Wednesday you wash the dishes. There's more figuring than that has to happen. Although if that works for you, that works for you.
Well, I have to make those arrangements because both me and my wife are working.
And so you work around your schedule.
We work around schedule.
And see, that's the good example. Both mm-hmm. of you are working. So both of you try to figure out a way to equally have the proper investment into the responsibilities that you have in your life. And there are some responsibilities that are just yours.
Yes.
And some responsibilities that are mainly hers.
Yes.
But they're not hers because that's what women do. They're hers because they're her responsibilities. Like, I would pretty much think that other than your four canine children, your all of your other ones in kind of the reptile room, the reptile pet room.
She's in charge of that.
Yeah, and that's because that's her area of concern. The pets are more her thing than they are your thing specifically.
Yeah.
I mean, if you weren't with her, would you have all the pets?
I highly doubt it.
And they're her thing. So that's not to say that you don't do those things when you need to.
Totally.
But for the most part, those are the things that fall under her responsibility, in the sense that that's part of what she has made herself responsible for.
Yes.
And exact same thing in my household. My wife is responsible for the majority of the pets, because I guarantee you I would have no pets if it weren't for being with her. And so she deals with the majority of the pet things. I deal with some of them. But she deals with the majority of them, and whenever I'm asked, I do what I need to.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But the simple fact is, it's finding which areas of responsibilities are which person's responsibilities, and then working together. So, young people, men, I'll say again specifically, but young people in general, remember, when you're getting into marriage, when you're thinking about the marriage, the first thing you're going in is equals. Now we're gonna take a break now. We'll come back and tell you a little bit more of the lighthearted tips and tricks that I know I've learned, and I hope Mike has learned. Some of them will make sense, and then I'll start. The way this usually works, obviously, is I start saying a few things, and then suddenly the fire starts burning in Mike's head.
Yep.
And the
light bulb goes off, and I can just keep going. Yep, yeah.
All right. We'll take a break now, and we'll be back in a minute.
All right. Hey, friends. This is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back. Hopefully this second half I can be a little bit more clear with the points I'm trying to make, because I feel like I rambled a little bit in the first half getting to my original point.
I liked what you were talking about. I think it's a discussion that needs to be had, like, for sure.
So when you finally realize that the person you're marrying is your equal and you need to treat it as equal, then you actually get to getting married.
Yes. See,
I'm jumping right in here. And
you've made the plunge.
Here's some of the tricks involved. Now, I said last time I was going to talk about why I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't marry my wife because I thought I had to. Mm-hmm. I did marry my wife because our intention was to have kids and have a family.
Okay. You had like a plan. You had a formula by here.
The thing was
somewhat, right?
Somewhat. The thing was, her and I had discussed the fact that part of her life plan was she wanted to have children. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to stress the fact, having children, this is a secondary nature to it. Having children, whether you actually physically have them, whether you adopt them, mm-hmm. whatever method it comes that you end up being a parent to children,
mm-hmm.
please, people, make this a choice and a decision, not something that just happens. One, we have all the methods that are at least possible, except for the perfect method that the Romans cultivated and then used to extinction. Did you know that the Romans actually had a plant that was a birth control? They cultivated this plant specifically for its birth control properties, and they ended up using it so much that they
killed the plant
into extinction. The entire plant into extinction. We don't have anything left of it to make this plant again, to grow this plant again.
Damn.
Yeah, and it was.
So what? Like, between that and like the volcanoes killed it?
What, Rome?
Yeah.
No. Oh, you mean?
I'm thinking Greece. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're thinking Greece. Well, Greece was the Greek culture was destroyed by the Romans overtaking them, and the Romans culture was destroyed by, I don't know, excess and political leaders and rich people getting way too rich, and the poor people deciding that they were tired of it and revolting.
Oh, okay.
Sounds familiar.
Anyway, yeah.
Moving on.
Man, history repeats itself.
Yes, it does.
When you don't friggin' pay attention to it.
Don't ever start a land war in Asia in the fall. You'll lose. Also, don't invade Russia.
I was wondering if you're going to go there.
Just don't invade Russia. The two things are connected. Don't invade Russia.
That's one of my favorite jokes. Apparently, Hitler never played Risk.
Yes, apparently. apparently. You just don't do it, because guess what? You will never be able to keep up your supply lines. Also, don't invade it. Don't ever try to invade a country that is willing to let more people die than you are.
Yeah, right?
Because, I mean, I'm sorry, but that was Russia's strategy in basically all of World War II.
It worked.
Oh, you have superior weapons. That's great. We have people. We have lots of people. We have 25 million people we're willing to give. What are you willing to give for people? Oh, you don't have that many people? Yeah, we do. We do.
We have that many people.
We have so
many people. Therefore, we have more people.
Actually, that was actually part of the reason why this is such a strange divergence of topic. But
I was going to say, James,
that was one of the reasons why.
Marriage.
Yes, I'll get back. that was one of the reasons why, though, the Truman and the generals of the United States Army during World War II mm-hmm. wanted to do the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, is while those were huge casualty events, mm-hmm. they figured that it was actually minimal in comparison to the casualties that would have happened if they actually tried to do an invasion of Japan, because the Japanese people were so fervently nationalistic at that point and so much behind their emperor.
Oh yeah,
that they would have civilians would have fought to the man, woman, and child mm-hmm. Against any kind of an invasion force, and there would have been much larger loss of life of Japanese soldiers, civilians, and of American soldiers if they were tried to do a full land invasion of Japan. They had planned one, and when they looked at we're talking on the order of 10 times as many people killed by a land invasion than what was killed in both Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So they felt that while both were both would be horrific things to have happen,
right.
They felt that if they were able to get Japan to capitulate with the droppings of those two bombs, as opposed to what would have happened with the invasion. Let's not, of course, forget about the fact that that Russia, on the same day that the Nagasaki bomb was dropped, Russia invaded all of Manchuria and China, which Japan had taken over.
Oh,
and,
whoa.
And basically took and wiped out all of Japan's holdings in Manchuria and China.
Crippled beyond belief.
American history doesn't American history classes don't like to teach that part of World War II. But yeah, the offensive that the Russians did in Manchuria and China during that day of the Nagasaki bomb drop. Say it right, James. It was like one huge coordinated invasion where they just swept through and got rid of all the Japanese strongholds that were up there, because the Japanese had the foothold there in the northeastern part of China,
right?
Well, and they had been invading into China throughout World War II.
Oh, because they were trying to spread too.
Yeah,
man, dude.
So much of it is not really taught in the same way, because it's an Amerocentric view when you're learning history here in America.
Totally.
But anyway,
my part on that, before we move on,
before I bring us back to point.
Yeah. The mind blow to me is, imagine having to make that decision. Both of these are bad. We are going to have to choose the less bad one. No, you're literally thinking of, well, if we really try to go after these people, do we kill everyone or just like a large chunk of them?
Do I kill hundreds of thousands of people?
Those are the two choices.
People?
Yeah. Those are the two choices you had. I understand there's no such thing as a good decision, but both decisions are like, they are, I can't even find fathomable terminology that's not in bad taste level of horrible.
It's actually important in that, I believe Truman was, wasn't he the buck stops here guy?
I don't know.
President Truman. I will say this much: President Truman was the type of guy that made decisions that were if he felt he needed to make a decision, he'd make the decision, and he was solid on his decision. He was willing to take whatever came from the decision.
Yeah.
Interesting little side note. Funny enough, bringing us back to the topic of marriage, he met his wife in kindergarten and told her then that he was going to marry her.
Wow.
And ended up being married to her his entire adult life.
Oh wow!
Never married anybody else.
Wow!
And may have been one of the few presidents that was actually that is provably faithful to his wife.
Wow!
I mean, I can think of in the modern era since World War II, I can probably think of Truman, Carter, only because Carter is the type of human being that would not cheat on his wife.
Uh-huh.
Not ill-suited to be a president, but a great human being.
Yeah.
And I don't see him cheating on his wife. I would say, yeah, Truman, Carter, and maybe Obama as the only presidents since World War II that probably have not cheated on their wife. And the only reason I say Obama is because I guarantee you, if there was any way that they could that Republicans during Obama's time as president
would have found out that
he had cheated on his wife, it would have gone everywhere. It's the only reason I can say for certain. I mean, I personally think he's probably a decent guy anyway. He seemed that way.
Yeah.
But I'm almost, everything that Bill Clinton did was put out, to be seen. And
well, he also wasn't exactly being very careful.
And again, who knows what happened with any of the other ones, but I only say for sure with Obama, because if he had done that and there was any, even the smallest shred of proof, people would have run with that even more than they were running with his birth certificate stuff. So anyway, so again, Truman, marriage. Back to marriage. It's a terrible segue, but we're back.
Oh, it's horrible.
This is how this is how James's brain works. I'm sorry. Anyway,
I'm proud of you, James.
Marriage can be like war sometimes.
No. What's our
me getting married?
I was going to say yes.
So my wife and I had talked, and we had planned that we were going to have a family. She wanted to have a family. That was the life that she saw for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for those of you who don't want to have kids and family, that's okay. For those that do, make it your choice. Make it your decision. Become a parent because you want to,
mm-hmm.
not because somebody tells you you should, not because you have pressure from anything. It is okay to live your entire adult life and never have children.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to adopt children. It's okay to have different pets and consider them your children.
Mm-hmm.
Although, understand that not everybody is going to see it the same way as you. Still, if that's who you want your children to be, is your various pets, and you want to dote on them in that way, fine. But your cat does not like being in a sweater, okay? It just doesn't. But still,
I've never seen a cat like a sweater or a shirt.
No, they really
dogs.
Don't.
Dogs will wear shirts.
Dogs like them sometimes.
Some dogs will, yeah. Most cats, I don't know. In most situations, they, especially the first time, they're just like, get this flippin' thing off
And
me.
Who gives cats a bath? Don't give your cat a bath.
Cats bathe themselves.
Typically, but still, unless they get too fat. I have one that's too fat that really can't bathe all of himself. But still.
Then that cat needs a bath, James.
No. You want to try to give the cat a bath?
I can't even step foot within 20 feet of a cat.
True. I mean, it makes you deathly ill, but still.
Yeah.
Point being.
That's your job.
Anyway, her and I made the decision to have a family, to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
One of the key things that to me was that she said that she was okay having kids with me. We didn't have to get married.
Mm-hmm.
She just wanted to be with me and have kids with me. But I realized that, and this you may realize from your experience of having two separate families,
mm-hmm.
It's really, really a lot easier when everybody in the household has the same last name. When you're dealing with multiple last names in the household, there gets to be some confusion at different points in time.
It can be
difficult at school sometimes. It can be difficult on different forms that you have to fill out.
I guess. I mean, was the only one with a different last name in the regular household that I was in the household I lived in more often. Yeah,
the one you were in the majority of your time.
Yeah.
But still, it helps to have the same last name. That does make things a little easier.
Yeah.
When you know, if I had my last name and my kids had all the same last name and their mother had a different last name,
mm-hmm.
makes it a little more difficult.
I guess.
And it can make somebody feel like they don't necessarily belong as well. Which, by the way, interesting note, as part of getting married, she specifically chose to take my last name.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of the tradition of taking the husband's name, mm-hmm. which is part of the patriarchal thing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have some friends that recently have gotten married that actually have hyphenated names. They use both last names.
I've got a friend that has a combined last name, hyphen.
No hyphen, just combined.
No hyphen. One,
so a brand new last name, a portmanteau last name.
One was one name was Hunt, the other name was Dunn Savage, and they combined them into Hunt Savage.
Oh, okay. So
all one word. Yeah, no hyphen or nothing.
So
I thought
a brand
that was
new
cool.
Last name for both
of
them.
It doesn't even separate them. That's the name. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, created a new last name.
My wife chose my last name because she thought it was a good last name. And secretly, she admitted later that secretly it had always been her dream to marry Kiefer Sutherland. And so she at least got the last name by marrying
there
me.
There you go. Yeah.
So
all
I
right.
guess. I can deal with that. I can deal with that, I guess. No relation, but still. Anyway, But so the reasoning for getting married, one was to make sure that it was easier for us to have a family with kids and everybody have the same last name, everybody have the legal stuff. That's another thing to think about. Let's say you're cohabitating with the person that you love. You're not legally married. You haven't done this contract part of it.
Right.
Let's say something happens to that person there in the hospital. Unless you have some other kind of legal paperwork written up, they go to next of kin. They don't go to you for any kind of medical stuff. You have to have some kind of proving paperwork that proves that you should be the one making medical decisions for this person. Now, being married automatically gives you that capability.
Right.
You automatically have that control over that stuff, which,
right,
again, comes into play with the kids. Let's say one of the kids is in the hospital. If, you know, my wife is there, same last name, more obvious that she's the parent of the kid without having to pull out birth certificates and all the different things.
Right.
They're gonna listen to her immediately instead of her having to find paperwork to prove that she's the mother.
Right.
Makes it, all of these things make it a little bit easier. Were there other ways to go about doing those things? Yeah, I could have had other paperwork filled out, but marriage is the more socially acceptable way to go about that. And that's,
right,
it's also part of the tradition, part of the thing that's been taught, like we discussed in the first half. When people see marriage, they see that as a much more serious defining of the relationship than just two people who live together and have a relationship together, which is, I think, again, part of the sadness of the preconceived notions we have of what marriage should be, is that for some reason, me being married for 18 years is more important than a couple that may have lived together for 25 years and had taken care of each other and spent all that time together, mm-hmm, even had kids growing, all these different things they've done. But because they're married or they're not married, people will not give them the same recognition for their accomplishment in a relationship as they would give me and my wife for being married. And I think it's just a title that we put on. And that's another thing for these young people to think about. The marriage isn't the definition of your relationship. It's just another title on the relationship. The, yeah, true definition of the relationship is the connection between you and the other person.
Yeah,
that time, absolutely, you spend in. And that time you notice the little things and the important things in life. Now, again, part of kind of this misogynistic mindset, men are not supposed to be good at being romantic, especially once we get married. It's supposed to drop off a little bit, and we're supposed to be clueless about this being romantic stuff. We never get it right.
What?
Am I wrong? Is this just my own perception? Maybe it's my own perception.
I've never heard of that. They're married. They don't have to try anymore. Is that what you're talking
that.
About?
There's that. But even if they do try, they get it wrong. When they try to do something romantic for their wife, it never ends up coming out right. They end up doing something the wrong way.
Like, are you talking like, Ray Romano level kind of dumb? Or are you talking
maybe almost a Ray Romano level dumb, but also just the normal dumb of like, you don't know what
not to get. Not necessarily attacking him as a person. No, we're just talking more about his character and Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
To clarify,
please.
I'm quite sure he's an awesome guy.
We don't
guy.
Hate on you personally, Ray Romano. We're just talking about your character. In the show, but no, I'm talking about the idea that men are supposedly never plan appropriate romantic dates, never take the girls to do anything nice romantically. They rely on things like flowers and whatnot or jewelry to be romantic. When those aren't.
You know what? I've never I don't know.
You're so
what
insulated
you're...
from these things.
Yeah, I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe your experience was amazing as a kid. Maybe you really. I mean, I don't know what I really don't know your dad or your stepdad that well. But I'm thinking they were probably really, really good at being positive role models of how to be caring and respectful towards their wives.
Well, yeah, 100%. Like it was. Yeah,
and so you
never like this. Yeah, you would see like I'd get up in the morning and get ready for school, and there was a vase full of flowers and an anniversary card
so
or
flowers,
something like that in the morning,
because
okay. because my stepdad's getting up for work or either one of them, they would both do these things.
Okay,
they would show that they cared about both of them would show that they cared about each other. It was
okay.
Like it was a both sets of parents showed that they would care about each other. You know what I mean?
They were good about doing the romantic
stuff. Yeah, there was never. There's always like that.
Men need to be able to do that, but men need to also be able to receive that. Because you need to let the woman be able to be romantic at different points in time.
Yeah.
And, but romantic, you know, isn't always flowers.
I saw the, well, I essentially saw the romance in itself, like, in a more material fashion. Okay. Then I would see, you know, like I said, the vase, the flowers, the anniversary card, the birthday cards, that kind of stuff. You know that
there are men out there who for their wives' birthdays will buy them like a piece of cookware. And not a piece of cookware that like the now see, here's a different thing. If your wife has been pining for and asking for a specific piece of cookware or like a specific kitchen gadget, like she's into baking heavily. Okay. And she wants one of those one mixers. I can't even think of the name of them. Like the, they're like
the big, Cuisinart?
Well, no, they're the big fancy mixers that like they use on all the food shows and whatnot.
Like the automatic ones?
Yeah.
The ones that sit with the thing and it's got yeah. I think we've got one of those.
We actually have one at home.
Okay.
But or even better. Some simple appliance. Like, let's say she's been wanting
blender. They're crazy about that. And okay, yeah.
She wants a new blender. You have a crappy old blender. She wants a new blender, a nice blender, something she's been talking about for a long time, and leaves all kinds of hints that she wants that for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You get that for her.
Yeah.
But if she's leaving hints that she wants, you know, she wants things like the jewelry, the this and the that, and you buy her a blender because it was on sale, and we don't have a blender in the house, so here you go. This happens, though. Or at least it did. It's changing, but this did happen. Men would do this. Men would buy things like a expensive Pyrex pot for their wife's birthday, and that's their birthday gift. Did they ask for that? No, but it's a gift. I can get it for them.
That sounds dumb.
It is, but it happens. These things happen.
I get it if your wife is asking for that stuff because they are into that.
Well,
and that's their thing. That's the thing they find fun to do.
Yeah.
It serves a purpose aside from cooking, if we're talking cookware.
Like, you know what I mean? Like an example. Technically, my wife got a pseudo early anniversary gift this year.
Yeah.
It's kind of an anniversary gift, but it's not. It's really just something we bought, but she's kind of mm-hmm. seeing it as an anniversary gift because we typically never have money when it comes to our anniversary, so we usually don't go and do anything or get things for each other.
Yeah.
Because we're broke.
Yeah.
She got one of those fitness bracelets.
Oh, cool.
She's wanting to track her steps and her fitness and whatnot.
Yeah, cool.
That's what she chose that she wanted for this. And I'm like, you know, that could be considered a terrible thing for me to get you a fitness item for your anniversary gift. Am I having some underlying thing? She goes, you're not getting it for me. I'm getting it for me. And then you're just taking some credit for it. And guess what? That's how a marriage works.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for my wife, like both of us are like super into like video games and stuff. So we'll probably do that. Yeah. Like, I would get her a copy of, you know, a copy of whatever the latest game is that she's into, or who knows, like most of the two of us don't really. I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing, really.
Please,
neither one of us consider it a bad thing. We're both like super happy with it. The two of us just like on anniversaries. This is a day for both of us, so we both get up and we both go out and we both do something that we both want. We'll both buy something that we both want. Like it's a together thing. It's not a
perfect
having to plan this thing and try to surprise. You have the moments
of moments of romantic stuff within them.
Yeah,
and you can. The thing about it is, you can also have those romantic moments that don't have to be around gift times. Just the fact that you're walking in the store one day and you see something, you go, "Oh yeah, my wife would love this." And you snag it and put it in the cart and bring it home and like, hey, I got you something today. And I saw it and it just said you. And that moment of light up in the eyes. Guess what, people? That's romantic.
Yeah.
And if you do those kinds of little things regularly, just those little tiny gestures, you don't have to go for the grand romantics of the flowers all the time.
Yeah.
At specific dates. You don't have to go for the big dinners. You can have those little tiny moments of romance where mm-hmm. you're just showing the person, hey, I was thinking about you. When I wasn't with you, you were still right there present in my mind.
Yeah.
And that's kind of that was the point I was roundabout getting to, but thank you for helping bring me there, sir.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. But that...
Sometimes I come off slightly aloof.
Well, for that to happen, for you to have that awareness of the person, well enough to know that when you see the little tiniest things, you can grab those things and bring them home to them. You can see those things and say, yes, my significant other would want this. My other half would find interest in this. What do you have to do to get that? What do you have to do to have that knowledge?
Pay attention.
Exactly. And this comes
either
down
that
to
or even sometimes like if you're just out and they ask to get something while you're both out and about, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Well, but the paying attention is
there's a difference though if you get it and surprise them with it after you know that they've been wanting to have something like that. Of course, don't
those
get
are
me
wonderful
wrong.
Things.
But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be jewelry.
And it doesn't have to be the grand gesture every single time.
It can just be the little things. It's just this one little thing that's sitting, you know.
It's like you got to let's say you're picking up dinner on the way home from work.
Yeah. Right?
You work late that night, you're picking up dinner.
Yeah.
The fact that you can, you don't even need to tell her where you're going because you know where you can go, mm-hmm. that she'll get something. You can order her food. And you make sure that it's done exactly the way that she likes it so that when she opens up her hamburger, it doesn't have the various things on it.
Right.
Or when she gets her, I'll use the example of something I ate recently. When she gets her little chicken pieces out, her fried mm-hmm. chicken pieces out, her nuggets, mm-hmm. you have the right sauce.
Oh, totally.
And sometimes you get the ask of, oh, did you make sure they have that I got this sauce or that they did this to my burger or whatever? Of course I did. I know I did. It's those little moments because you've paid attention.
Yeah.
And this I think is the final key that comes down to. I hear a lot of people talk about how they have great communication within their relationship. They communicate with each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And communicating is great. Communicating can take different forms. It can take sitting down and talking.
Mm-hmm.
It can take the form of yelling, take the form of texting. It could take the form of writing notes at each other.
It could take the form of texting in all caps at each other.
Or writing snarky notes at each other everywhere. It could take many different forms. But the key to communication is really comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether the person is actually hearing and understanding everything that you're saying. And it's actually getting into their head what it is you're saying. And it's same with you. It's getting into your head what it is they're saying.
Yeah.
When you have that appropriate communication that has comprehension involved, that's where you can make all of these other things in the relationship work. You can be the guy who or gal or whatever that I'm trying to cover the bases
for
you.
So I
see your little smile.
You're good.
That can make those that can see those things and be able to get those things for your partner. That can have your partner having a little spot there in your head all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have that appropriate communication. You need to be able to sit down with your partner, talk about the things that are happening within the relationship, talk about how you feel about the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have issues that you're going to fight and argue over because you're two different people.
Right.
Throughout your relationship, you're going to grow. I mean, you've had 4 years of growing, right?
Yeah.
I've had 18 years of growing, and I can tell you, within the next 6 years, there's going to be a lot of growth between the two of you. 10-year mark is a very common mark for there to be some kind of issues because mm-hmm. so much happens within a 10-year span of your life. You change, you grow, you view the world differently. So does your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those things are similar, but some of those things will converge a little bit.
Yeah.
Or converge, diverge, go away from each other, right?
I think you might have a little bit of both happening.
Anyway. Some will come together, some will go away.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm trying to describe it. What you're getting is you have to realize both of you will be growing and not always at the same rate and not always in the same ways.
Okay.
And by communicating back and forth, discussing those things back and forth, discussing the different parts of development that each one of you is at, realizing that sometimes you're not going to be able to solve a problem completely. Or sometimes you have to accept a solution to a problem that doesn't make you happy or the other person entirely happy, but it's still the right solution to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's never going to be perfect. There won't be a perfect relationship.
Yeah.
There will be continuing to work at it. And communication comes in the key. Because if, again, even at the beginning, before the marriage happens, go all the way back to where we talked about before. If you can communicate, and again, I am speaking towards men mostly because that's my experience, but anybody that's looking to be in a relationship to get married at some point can learn from this, can make this part of it. If you can communicate from the beginning the fact that you are equals, the fact that both of your ideas have equal weight and equal thought, and that communication can stay open through the entire relationship, disagreements, fights, when you fight, Fight about the issues. Don't fight about attacking each other, because by fighting about the issues, the specific things that you're having the disagreement about, you're communicating and comprehending what each other are saying. You're going after issues. You're not personally attacking each other, which stops the comprehension from happening. Because once I personally attack you, you're not going to listen to me anymore.
No, I'm done.
Because at that point, all you feel is that you're under attack.
Yeah.
Instead, attack the ideas together, working in concert when you do it. Attack the thing that's the problem.
Yeah.
Work at that. Keep that communication open. Keep it going. This is the goal. I've stayed married as long as I have, and more importantly, since again, the marriage is just a title, I've stayed in a stable relationship as long as I have, by growing with the person with me, by being able to have open discussion and communication, by disagreeing, by sometimes having to do things that I don't completely feel 100% behind, but at the same time realize it's the right way to go.
Yeah.
And by sometimes having to help my wife get through the exact same thing of having to go with something that's the right way to go, even though she's not completely okay with it. Because what it really comes down to in those moments is the communication has happened. The comprehension has happened. I've been able to tell my side and she understands. She's been able to tell her side. I understand. We realize that even though we are connected as one group by our relationship, by our marriage, we are still two people within that group that still need the chance to grow and become our own people, but work together.
Yeah.
I know this went a little rambling, but.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm just kind of letting you go on that one. You're the one who has, there's nothing I disagree with, man. Like, there's nothing I disagree at. Everything you just said, you're absolutely correct.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have a
little. I don't have really much to add on that, man. You're the one with the experience too. Like the more of the two of us.
I have the years of experience, but the fact that it all sounds appropriate to you, the fact that this all sounds working, I feel shows that you kind of have even at this stage in your relationship, you have the mindset that there's kind of only, I think only really one way to be successful at this. If you're going to consider your partner the equal to you. Now there are those people who stay married for years and years and years, and there's no equality within the relationship. They just do it because that's what they've been taught to do. Or they stay in it long enough till the kids are grown up, and then they get out of it because they don't feel the responsibility of the kids anymore, and they've grown so apart because the communication wasn't properly there.
Well, there's the possibility of that, but there's also those marriages that do stay together in a traditional hierarchical type relationship like that. It's a monarchical, I guess, would be more appropriate. That could just be. And I'm not trying to like bring it away from. I personally think that equality is like literally the way to go.
Well, but there are some people who feel more comfortable in the other setting. Some
people, they do, and I think it could just be that they're used to that, and that's the way that they've learned to communicate with each other. Or maybe that's just the way that they feel that life should be.
I've seen many women who have become widowed. Mm-hmm. You know, their husbands have passed, and the first thing they do is kind of follow the nearest male figure that has some kind of authority. And it's really hard. Sometimes it can be really hard to get them to actually speak for themselves, because they will literally, what's the word I want to use? I want to use the word bow, because that's more so than I want to go. But they'll basically do whatever the male authority tells them to do, and won't necessarily voice their own opinion and their own thoughts. Hmm. I've dealt with that on more than one occasion, where I've had to actually sit down with the person and say, listen, and hell, in one occasion where I've had to be for a time the male authority that's the closest male authority around. And I've had to say, listen, you need to speak your own piece. You need to say your own part. You need to if you want to disagree with me, disagree with me. We'll discuss it. That's fine. But don't just do what I say because I'm the guy, and so you're going to listen to the guy. Don't do that at all. Do what you feel is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss it, and we'll walk through it. We'll look through all the different pieces of it. But you need to be able to make your own decisions. You are a human being that has every right to have your own thoughts and your own feelings and your own decisions and things. Yeah. And there are some people that are still resistant to it because
it's just what they're used to, man.
The patriarchy that's been around for such a long time, that mindset that the woman is supposed to be, you know, subservient to the husband for such a long time, they still do it. Even when the husband is gone, it's in their mindset that they need to do that. And it's frightening. And that's, Guys, well, I mean, don't make your wives feel that way.
Yeah, right?
Gals, don't make your wives feel that way. Guys, don't make your husbands feel that way. Did I cover all bases? Gals, don't make your husbands feel that way. Did I cover all bases?
Yeah, well, okay. So far. Well, yeah. There's a lot of bases to cover. Don't make your significant other feel inferior. That's the point here.
There you go. Mike says it in a better way.
They don't deserve that.
No, they don't.
And in the same breath, neither do you.
No, you don't. And that's the thing to consider. You don't deserve it. They don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Don't let yourself be put in that position, and don't put other people in that position.
You'll find out everybody's happier that way.
All of us deserve to have the significant other that we're with, the person that we want to connect our lives with in that way, be it by marriage or be it just by the promise that we give to each other. All of us deserve to have that person treat us with respect. And as a result, they deserve to be treated with respect from us. And that's the key. If there's any key, that's the key. It took us a long way to get here, but hey, hopefully there's some nuggets of information in this. Hopefully y'all enjoy. And especially about this topic, if there's any questions anybody might have, feel free to ask us. It's true with all topics. We'll do the best that we can because, again, we're not perfect. We're also not
marriage counselors.
No, we're not technically.
But maybe we'll try.
I mean, I could be if I wanted to be. I can perform marriages. That's something. That's something. I can marry people.
You can.
I can. I'm legally set up to do that, at least in the state of California.
Nice.
I don't know if any other states.
Cool.
So, I can do that. I promise if I do, I will not recite anything that has to do with circles. Just because. Okay. There are some people who will laugh at that. It's, trust me.
Okay.
So Mike, here's your part of the podcast as always. Where can people find us?
Well, you can listen to us on our website, thezenuelchronicles.com, or if you don't want to type that much, zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. Speaking of Zenchron, you could also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at the handle @Zenchron. If you want to hear the podcast outside of the website, we're available on TuneIn. We're available on Google Play. Google Podcast now is what it's called. I keep forgetting that.
They changed it.
Yeah, they just changed it. And
Spotify,
thank you. Spotify was the third one.
Also,
yes.
YouTube's.
Yes, also as far as video content, which is basically just audio with a cool-looking backdrop and an iPhone little icon or something. Those videos are available on Facebook and on YouTube. On Facebook and YouTube, you guys can leave comments.
Yes.
And we read them, and we respond to them, and if it's something that you want us to respond to on the show,
we will do so.
Yeah.
We also are willing to, if people have specific topics that they would like us to discuss on the show.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We will discuss them as much as we can.
We're always looking for ideas. We think it'd be fantastic. Shoot us some ideas. We'll get them on the podcast. And yeah.
That would be great.
All right.
Thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.